Pot Spotting 159.
Thursday, November 3rd, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I am Ryan.
I'm Jen.
It's Thursday, which means it's time for Pop Talk and Trivia. Now, each week, we let one of you school us on things worth checking out. Then we try to stump you with random trivia.
Joining us today is Axel Foley, a podcaster, educator, and filmmaker. In fact, he has a feature film out that you can catch on Netflix streaming called Smokers. He's directed numerous documentaries, commercials, concerts, and music videos.
He currently works at a nonprofit public access TV station in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, where he shoots and edits video and teaches video production.
Axel also teaches a podcasting course. He's a frequent co-host on the Film List with He's Solo and one of the hosts of Podtourage. Axel, welcome to Pop Spotting.
Well, thank you very much for having me. You both have been a podcasting inspiration to me since the first day I downloaded the transmission.
Wow, that was a while ago.
Yes, yeah. And on behalf of myself, Heath, Donald and Alex from Podtourage, we all love your show. We all listen to Pop Spotting, and it's really a pleasure for me to be here.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. It means a lot to have you among the listeners, and that's a great bunch of podcasters. I love that you're teaching podcasting, that you're infecting new podcasters out in the world. Let's get started here on Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday. We do ask our brilliant guests like you to enlighten us on three things that are worth checking out. So, Axel, what's your first pick?
Well, the first thing I'm going to talk about, it does involve a band member from a band in Chapel Hill, but it's actually a podcast / radio show, and it's called The Best Show on WFMU. I happened upon it just cruising through iTunes. I often like to look up local radio stations and communities and see what kind of shows people are making. And I happened upon WFMU, which I used to live in Jersey City, New Jersey, about a half a mile from the station. It's a nonprofit, free-form radio station, one of the few still in existence in this country. Every Tuesday from 9 to 12 at night, the podcast comes out on Thursday. The Best Show is hosted by Mr. Tom Sharpling, who probably may be best known for being a head writer on the television show Monk. He's now directing music videos, and he's very involved with bands and comedians. And how the show started was Tom became friends with John Worster. John Worster is the drummer for both Superchunk and the Mountain Goats, who are Mountain Goats are a Durham band. Superchunk is a Chapel Hill band. And he is, in my opinion, John Worster is like the hidden gem of American comedy. He is one of the funniest guys. They started doing a little bit together called Rock, Rot, and Rule, where Worster would call up and kind of critique bands. And the show has just taken on a life of its own. I would kind of describe it as a mix of the movie Talk Radio, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and the Larry Sanders Show, where Tom is just this kind of grumpy guy who hangs up on people all the time. He has a kind of running joke that no matter who calls in, even if they're his friend or not, he'll say bye, and before they get a chance to say goodbye, he'll hang up on them. So every time, it's a really fun show. It definitely has a kind of East Coast, that kind of, you know, that kind of crabby New York, Larry David kind of vibe with it. A lot of regular callers, and it really sucks you in. They do, I guess, the kind of stuff that you saw a lot on Seinfeld, that you see on Curb Your Enthusiasm, where they'll plant a joke early and then come back to it. And when they come back to it, they kind of sneak it in, and you just, you know, you find yourself, I'll find myself listening at work while I'm editing or driving in the car, just laughing out loud. People look at me like I'm crazy.
So when they do have musicians on, do the musicians play live on the show?
They have done that. they frequently do that every quarter or so. They do a telethon to raise money for the station. And they'll have oftentimes Ted Leo will come in and play. And whenever Amy Mann's in the New York, New Jersey area, she'll come in, play a few songs. It's not I wouldn't say it's a regular thing, but definitely the music knowledge that both Tom Sharpling and John Worster have is just incredible. It's amazing. I mean, I've learned a lot about music history just listening to them joke about it.
So what's your second recommendation?
All right. Well, my second recommendation is a reality show. Uh-oh.
Wow. That's okay. Well, you know, The Amazing Race, I like that show. What do you got?
This is a show that's in its second season on Bravo. It's called Work of Art.
Huh.
The Next Great Artist. It's on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. I mean, it's pretty much a standard reality show format, like a Top Chef or Project Runway, where they're given a challenge. The difference is, of course, that they're all artists of various forms, whether it's sculpture or painting or video, performance art. And for myself, who, you know, I've always been a kind of an arty guy. I really enjoy the fact that art gets a kind of mainstream treatment on this show, and the artists themselves are really out there. It's not like, you know, they're getting someone who's painting nice watercolors of birds. They're getting really out there, progressive artists who take a chance. And I think it kind of, you know, in the United States, I think it's increasingly, and it has been for a long time. You know, if you say to someone, hey, I'm an artist, they're kind of like, yeah, right. What's your real job?
Right.
So it's great to see this type of art on television. And they really pull down the drama. It's not the type of show where the contestants are yelling at each other or causing fights with each other. It's really about the internal struggle that each artist has to express themselves for the given challenge.
So this is a contest show, I'm imagining. So if there's a winner, what does that mean for them? What happens to them?
They get $100,000. Last year they got a car, which I think they'll kind of throw in at the end again. Mm. Not throw in. I'd love a car too. But, and they get their own show at the Brooklyn Museum of Art.
Wow. I mean, this sounds really interesting. And it sounds like you said they're working with people that are doing mixed forms of media. Do you have a favorite form or style, or do the judges kind of belie a preference for a specific kind of art?
Not really. And myself, not really either. I think I've seen everything on the show, from people making their own action figures to performance art to beautiful paintings and sculpture. It really runs the gamut of different forms of expression. You know, with what we have generally on television and in reality shows particular, I can't say because there's a lot of great television, but reality shows in particular, it's really refreshing to see Bravo take a chance on this show. And they push it a lot and they repeat it a lot. So if anyone, you know, listening gets a chance, give it a shot. Watch an episode, because I think at least one of the contestants will catch your eye and you'll really be interested in their process.
Well, Axel, I think you found a reality show that might make us smarter. We're definitely going to check it out.
So what's your third recommendation?
My third recommendation is a book. And I really like the fact that you both talk about books on the podcast a lot, because I think that's a good thing to talk about. I'm a book fan myself. And it's one of my favorite books that I've recently been rereading, and by my favorite author, Arthur C. Clarke, and that is Childhood's End. It's a fantastic book. In a way, it's about human evolution and the evolution of consciousness. But in the same at the same time, it is fast paced, easy to read. The beginning. I think it's maybe about the first third maybe quarter of the book is almost set up like an action movie. And that is to kind of hide what's really going on, and that is that aliens have come to Earth. And they've come to Earth in a benevolent fashion to educate mankind and to prepare them for a coming change. And I think if anyone out there gives it a try, you'll really see. Now, this book was written, I may be incorrect, but I think it was written in about 66 or 67.
1953?
Oh, 53. Wow, was it really 53?
And so very early, I think, for this general concept, for sure.
Every time, I always think that Arthur C. Clarke books were written later than they were because they're so forward-thinking.
Exactly.
In a really interesting novel, and you'll see a lot of archetypes of the sci-fi novel within this book, you'll recognize, and it's not until you do like we just did and figure out, oh my, this was written in 1953, that you're really surprised at the forward-thinking nature of it. It's a great book, and personally for me, I read the book when I was about 12 years old, and it really expanded my mind, and it really made me think a lot about the world, religion, philosophy. At the same time, like I said, it's a really fun book to read, and it has a lot of energy and movement to it, and I think people would really enjoy it.
Who is the main character, and what exactly is he trying to achieve? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know what? It kind of moves around. And I guess the main character in the book is really humanity. It follows the stories, the concurrent stories of several characters, and as human as well as alien. And it really is more about the consciousness changing of all humanity and how an alien race would affect how people think about the world and themselves.
Well, I think Childhood's End is a great place for folks to start with Arthur C. Clarke. Then you can maybe get into his various book series. Great recommendation there, Axel. So, Jen, what were Axel's picks for this week?
Axel's picks were The Best Show on WFMU with Tom Sharpling and John Worster, Work of Art, a reality show on Bravo, and Childhood's End by Arthur C. Clarke.
All right, Axel. I like that. A podcast, a TV show, and a book. A great mix. But now we got to ask you, are you ready for some trivia?
I'm as ready as I ever will be.
Well, here's how it works. We let you pick your categories. We'll let you pick 2 out of 3, and then you just have to answer 2 out of 3 questions correctly in each. Jen, what are Axel's categories?
Gaga for Gaga, The Philosopher's Stone, and I Want to Believe.
So for Axel, we have a music category, a movie category, and a television category, I Want to Believe. I guess that's an X-Files category. Which two, Axel, sound like your cup of tea?
Oh, man, this is tough. I'm going to kind of go out of the box here. I'll go with Gaga.
All right.
And I'll go with The Philosopher's Stone.
Okay, sounds like fun. Let's start with Lady Gaga, Jen.
Number one, Lady Gaga is known for more than music. Her choices in fashion always cause a stir. Her outfit for the MTV Music Awards last year was declared by Time as the top fashion statement of the year. What was it made of?
If I remember correctly, I think it was the meat dress, am
correct.
I right?
Correct.
Exactly. Nice. Yes, it was the meat dress, actually made mostly of flank steak, and it's now preserved in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I hope that's some really good preservative. Excellent. First question right. Number two,
her birth name was Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta, but she took her stage name from what 1984 hit song about the failings of radio and the rise of television?
I'll hazard a guess that it's Video Killed the Radio Star?
No, it was Radio Gaga by Queen, written by drummer Roger Taylor.
I guess the Gaga part of that kind of gives it away. I should have figured that.
Well, you had to be, I guess, familiar with the discography of Queen. Yes, Radio Gaga. It would actually reach number one in 19 countries, but that's okay. You've got one more question.
Number three, on her 2009 EP, Lady Gaga included the track Dance in the Dark. The song includes a spoken section similar to Madonna's Vogue, but Lady Gaga names famous people who have met tragic ends. Name at least two of them.
Ah, oh, this is tough. People who have had a tragic end. Well, there's so many. I'll throw out there, Kurt Cobain and Janis Joplin.
No.
Good guesses, though. They probably would have fit in the narrative. Do you want to try again, or is that pretty much what you got?
Jimi Hendrix?
No.
All right. We'll put you out of your misery. Jen, who were the folks listed in that song?
Jesus Christ, Liberace, Marilyn Monroe, Judy Garland, Sylvia Plath, JonBenet Ramsey, Stanley Kubrick, and Princess Diana.
JonBenet Ramsey. That's an interesting pick there.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know of anything that rhymes with JonBenet Ramsey.
That's okay, Axel. That was the Gaga category. Let's move you over to the Philosopher's Stone. It was 10 years ago that the first film in the Harry Potter franchise hit theaters. It kicked off an unstoppable series of 8 movies following the kids of Hogwarts. Let's see how well you know this first book and screenplay by J.K. Rowling.
Number one, in the movie, the Sorting Hat doesn't sing like it does in the book, but it still puts new students into one of 4 houses. Name at least 3 of them.
I'm never going to get this. Okay, hold on. Let's see. I have no idea, I have to tell you. I've seen all the movies, but I haven't read the book or books. So I'll hazard a guess.
Okay.
Let's see. Based on the books, I'll say, is there like House of like Dumbledore, maybe?
I can see where you're going there, but no, that wouldn't be one of them.
House of... Phoenix?
No.
No.
Okay. House of Magic.
Well, Axel, those are 3 guesses, and they're all consistent, but unfortunately, they're all wrong. Jen, what are the 4 houses of Hogwarts?
Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Slytherin.
Yeah, it's funny because our daughter is a huge Harry Potter fan and she's frequently sorting us into these 4 houses, but that's okay. Axel, you've got 2 more questions. Let's see how you do.
Number 2, at the final feast of the school year, last minute points were doled out for skill at playing chess, for using cool logic in the face of fire, for pure nerve and courage, and for having the bravery to stand up to one's own friends. Name at least 3 of the 4 awardees.
Okay, I'm going to say Harry Potter won one.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I knew it. I'm going to say that blonde-haired kid whose name I can't remember, whose dad was a bad guy,
no,
won one.
Draco Malfoy did not win one.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And I think the third winner was... I'm going to say Beasley, his friend.
Or
I'll give him that.
Okay, that's Weasley. Yes, Ron Weasley. So that's 2 out of 3.
Oh, Weasley.
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry.
So you got Harry Potter and Ron Weasley as a 2. We'll give you 1 more guess. I mean, again, main character in the book that got extra points to help win the House Cup. One more, Axel.
Let's see.
I can hear all the Harry Potter fans just screaming.
Yeah, I know. They're killing me. I love those movies, but I'm so bad with names. I can only guess his other friend, and I can't pronounce her name. Is it like Hermione?
Hermione. We'll give it to you.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
You got it. Yes. Hermione Granger. That's right. So the 4 last minute point winners were, in fact, as you guessed eventually, Harry Potter, Ron Weasley, Hermione Granger, and Neville Longbottom. So that's question number 2. One more. If you get this, you've got the category number 3.
And number 3, the first and second Harry films were directed by this man who got his start in Hollywood as a screenwriter for Gremlins and The Goonies, and he had his directorial debut with Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh, man.
It's a general movie category.
Yeah, I know. I should know this. I should know the answer to who directed these first couple of Harry Potter books. I mean, movies. What was his directorial debut?
Adventures in Babysitting.
Adventures in Babysitting.
I think he's more definitely affiliated for his writing for Gremlins and the Goonies.
Oh, man. You know what? I'm drawing a blank. It wasn't Zemeckis, right?
No. No, it was Chris Columbus. No.
Oh,
Chris Columbus.
He also discovered America.
Exactly. That was going to be the hint that I was going to throw out. But yes, the director of the first and second Harry Potter films and one of the producers of the third film, Prisoner of Azkaban, was in fact Chris Columbus. Well, Axel, you did moderately well in the two categories, but I'm sorry to say you didn't quite vanquish Jen's trivia questions. But thanks so much for playing.
Thank you, Axel.
I really appreciate it. You guys are the best, and I think that really worked my brain.
Well, that's all we can really ask for. Before we let you go, can you let us know about your movie Smokers? It's available on Netflix. What's it about?
Well, Smokers is a movie. We shot it way back in 2001. It came out in 2008. It kind of sat on the shelf, as they say, for a while. It's mm-hmm. completely independently produced. It's a story of a young kid who comes from Kansas, and he gets involved in the kind of drug world in New York. It's an action comedy. Has a lot of split screens, a lot of fun editing. We had a great time, and you can get it on Netflix. It's not, you know, the production value is not the highest, but we made the whole thing for about $500. So
excellent.
We feel pretty good that it's out there, and it's the kind of thing you either love it or you hate it. I think that if you get into this story, you'll really enjoy it. It takes you on a wild ride, and it's got a lot of movement.
We're all in for that. I think we're going to love it. That's Smokers on Netflix. And Axel, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, they can find me on Twitter at WAxelFoley. They can check me out on Podtourage, The Film List, many podcasts. And, I just really want to take the time to thank you both again for having me on. And,
yeah, it was our pleasure.
And we're really being an inspiration for everyone out there. You know, we're trying to take Podtourage to the next level, make a little better recording quality. And we got pop spotting is that star in the sky that we're reaching for.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Well, watch out. That might just be the light at the train coming at you through the tunnel. But in any case, Axel, yes, mahalo for being on. We'll catch you online.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A great day. And I love your show.
Mahalo.
We love having guests over on Pop Spotting, mm-hmm. but whether you want to come on the show or just share your thoughts on anything pop culture, we hope you'll get in touch.
Your feedback is what keeps us going. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net, or you can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
We have a great bunch of people who contribute to our Facebook page, mm-hmm. and we hope that you can join us there as well at facebook.com/popspotting.
And you can tweet us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting, or you can look us up on Google Plus as Ryan or Jen Ozawa.
We'll be back tomorrow with another great serving of Pop Spotting feedback.
We want to say thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and mahalo to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Apiu tardi.
See ya. Apiu tardi? What's that?
Italian.
Is that correct?
I hope so.
Hopefully by here.